This is the BBC.
Thanks for downloading the shorter World Service edition of More or Less, first broadcast on Friday, the 2nd of June. Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We're your weekly guide to the numbers all around us, and I'm Tim Harford.
Or you have it going if you like and play live over the top of it.
This week, statistics meet music in a recording studio under the streets of East London.
I'm Elizabeth Pisani. I'm an epidemiologist, and I've come into a den, a hidden music studio, where I'm about to hear for the very first time the music associated with a programme called Song of Contagion that we've been working on for over a year now.
This is a big moment for Elizabeth. She had a vision for communicating some life or death data in musical form. And that means she's had to entrust her life's work on medical data to this man, who, culturally, is a world apart.
I'm Tony Haynes, the composer-director of the Grand Union Orchestra, and sitting here in the studio with Jerry, is a wonderful musician and multi-instrumentalist.
Here's the tenor.
Elizabeth and Tony are the Simon and Garfunkel of epidemiological jazz funk, which sounds good, except that, as you may recall, Simon and Garfunkel didn't always see eye to eye.
My narrative about the epidemiological transition, it's actually the other way around.
Well, I don't know about that, but my structure has never...
The problem is that Elizabeth wants to communicate the data, but Tony cares about the music. And it turns out it's not easy to do both at once.
I first of all thought maybe you could write a piece that you could then play using data from different diseases. So, for example, you could make the tempo the amount of disease or disability it causes, the burden of disease. And you could make spending your output indicator, as we would say. You could make that the volume. And then you could simply play that same piece of music driven by the data underlying different diseases so that people could hear the difference. And Tony kind of nodded sagely as I explained this, but very gently he said, yeah, we could do that, but it just wouldn't sound very good.
The result of this debate is a suite of music called Song of Contagion. It'll be performed later this month by a full orchestra at Wilton's Music Hall in East London. We couldn't fit a full orchestra inside the studio, so we made do with Jerry and his kit.
Here's Jerry playing the bass line to start with.
But let's go back to Elizabeth's original vision. She's an epidemiologist and the director of public health consultancy, Turnyata Limited.
We track diseases and the behaviours and the pathogens that spread them. And then we tend to write our results up in learned papers, in journals that no one reads.
Which bothered Elizabeth. Maybe a musical interpretation might get these vital data out of the dusty journals and into people's souls.
And so I began to think about other ways of expressing statistics. And I just threw the graphs at Tony and said, here, we could try and play this. And he took it from there.
The graphs that Elizabeth had been hoping that Tony would translate into sound described the spread of different diseases, the number of fatalities, the amount of media coverage, the level of government spending and infrastructure put in place to seek a cure. By tracing the lines on a graph, we can see how the number of deaths goes down when the amount of funding goes up, or how the number of deaths goes up when there's no media attention demanding that something is done. These are patterns that matter, and Elizabeth wanted to bring them to life. For example,
we had this massive increase very, very quickly in people dying of HIV and AIDS, principally young gay men, but not exclusively. And then following that, we have a rapid increase in press coverage. Then we have another line on that same graph, which shows public opinion and the percentage of public that considers HIV to be an important issue. And then creeping up behind funding, which tracks those other things. And then in 1995, that all resulted in the advent of treatment because of the funding, because of the press coverage. Because of all of that, suddenly you had effective treatment, and then the AIDS deaths start to drop rather dramatically.
So this is the disagreement. Elizabeth wanted this data to be sonified, to produce a kind of auditory data visualization. But Tony said, no, that's just going to sound awful. We need to turn the graph into music, which means a looser, more impressionistic connection between the data and the sound.
I'll play it to you.
Tony began with a simple bass line to provide a musical spine. On top of that, he gradually added all the other parameters, all the other lines shown on the graph.
So here is government spending.
Every one of these musical instruments tells its own data-based story. Take, for example, those trombones played for us on a synthesizer. They represent the amount of money different governments spend on cures and preventative measures for HIV. And what the audience will eventually hear when the orchestra gathers together will be a musical rendition of an extremely complicated and data-heavy graph, telling the story of the HIV epidemic from the 1980s to the present day. But it's not what Elizabeth originally had in mind. So what's she going to make of Tony's composition? We sat her down for a listen.
Put them all together.
It's so exciting. This is the first time I've heard this. And I was like, I know that they're doing great things. I know that Tony's doing great work and he's got great musicians. But I have no idea how this is all going to come together. And oh my God, it's all coming together.
HIV isn't the only disease to receive Tony's musical treatment. There are six parts to this piece, each looking at a different disease or pair of diseases. And running through the work is a key message. The diseases that get the attention and the money aren't necessarily the diseases that kill the most people.
Just about a quarter of all funding that goes to lower-income and middle-income countries in development assistance for health goes to HIV right now. The data are from 2016. But actually, in terms of disability-adjusted life years, which is our nerdy term for the amount of death and disability that something causes, it's only about 5%.
Elizabeth wants us to understand that we ignore some diseases that are not considered sexy or interesting, and we focus too much on others. And we give some diseases vastly more money than others.
There's one piece that contrasts Zika with dengue. You know, we've heard a lot about Zika lately. We've heard much less about dengue. So who would think that dengue kills up to 20,000 people a year and hospitalises around a million, but gets no funding at all, whereas Zika, which has very, very tragically affected a number of families, but that number is under 4,000 globally ever, gets so much more attention.
Tony plans to tell that story using rhythms from West Africa before moving to Caribbean merengue and Brazilian samba before heading back to Central Africa. Elizabeth Pisani and Tony Haynes, thank you very much. That is all we have time for this week, but please keep your questions and your comments coming in to moreorless@bbc.co.uk. Our website, bbcworldservice.com/moreorless. Until next week, goodbye. More or Less was presented by me, Tim Harford. Our reporter was Hannah Sander, producer Charlotte MacDonald, editor Andrew Smith, and our studio wizard was Graham Puddifoot.